So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. As always, we thank you for tuning in and being a part of what is now year three of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. A little one-on-one segment. J-Doc does a great job going one-on-one with leaders in the industry, and we've got a great one lined up for today, J-Doc.
Yeah, Joe, it's really cool because we're doing, you know, this is really our first Labor and Energy Show President's Hour. We've had the opportunity when we do the Philadelphia show to do the labor show and you know, the President's Hour with Pat Iding for the last 9 years on a citywide and kind of a regional wide, kind of mode. But this is the first time we're going to get the opportunity to sit down with Rob Bear, to do a President's Hour. Rob has done many labor and energy shows, and obviously he's a part of our board, and We've talked energy a lot. We're going to have some conversation about energy, but we're going to get the perspective of the Pennsylvania building trades president, you know, on a statewide level. Okay. Like, you know, and touch on a lot of the things we touch on, you know, with Pat Iding over the years. We're going to do it on a statewide level. So can't wait.
Good show lined up today across the state of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia on WPHT 1210 and Pittsburgh on KDKA. And of course, if you miss any of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to re-listen, Apple or Spotify, just search The Labor and Energy Show. As J-Doc said, we've got a good show today, one-on-one with Rob Baer. We'll get to our first quick commercial break. And then on the other side, J-Doc and Rob Baer will join you back in a moment.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at Retiree First.com.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, thanks for joining us on the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I'm ecstatic to have in to the program Pennsylvania Building Trades President Rob Baer for our first President's Hour with Rob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Well, it's great to have you, Robin. And you know, like I said, at when we first started planning the show, this is our President's Hour, and really, it's a conversation. You know, of course, it's the Labor and Energy Show, and we'll talk about that. But let's get into a wider array of topics that really have to do with all of our building trades and you know what we do on a daily basis, who we are. But on a statewide level, if you would, Rob, a little bit, you know, about your, you know, yourself and your background and your pathway to where you are as the president of the Pennsylvania Building Trade for our listeners.
So I started as an electrician, IBW apprentice in 1987. I spent about 20 some years working out in the field, Fortunately, I got to work all over the country, traveled quite a bit early in my career, came home, started running a lot of bigger jobs for some of our contractors, became active in the local and served on the executive board. And there was an opportunity in 2008 to run for business manager. So I took it. I got elected, ran my next four elections unopposed. Served around 14 years, and in that time, I was active with the Pennsylvania State Building Trades. I served as a trustee to the Building Trades Council, and in 2022, Frank was retiring, so a couple of the guys asked me if I'd run. I was in a great spot at the local. The two guys that came in with me originally in 2008 were still working there at the local. I had pretty much trained them to do everything I did. So I could make a nice transition. And I was fortunate enough to be elected. And I took over here. We decided early on, you know, we were going to modernize some things, do a little more outreach as each individual comes in. You know, you change a few things. And we got a really good machine here. I have Mike Ford from Sheet Metal Local 19 is my secretary treasurer. Mike works here in the office. I have Joe Gustler from Launa as our apprentice outreach coordinator. We've been working last year with Keystone Research building a big white paper on pathways into the apprenticeship, what might be the hurdles for women, minorities, underserved communities. We've start digging down into, you know, some individual trades like DC 21 down in your area has a tremendous, tremendous women in the trades program. You know, it's incredible.
We literally just did an entire month, okay, with Aaron O'Brien Hoffman, okay, as part of our labor show with our women in labor segment. So, man,
she's incredible. She is incredible. And I've been down to DC 21. We went through the Finishing Trades Institute. I interviewed Aaron a couple times. But then we also went to Western PA. We did Northeast. We did North Central. We started hitting training directors. We've been digging down into which trades have a really big participation in helmets to hard hats, which ones don't, which one of our internationals does the early outreach as people are leaving the military 6 months ahead, which ones participate but really don't. And we're continuing that for another year. I secured a grant so we could keep going. And what we're really doing is we're like, we know there's a ton of work coming. We know that apprenticeship is the lifeline of this industry.
Absolutely.
So it's like, okay, for a lot of years, we were kind of a little bit of a closed rank society. And that's true. You came from the trades, you know. But we also need to make our locals look a whole lot like the communities that we participate in. So, you know, when I took over, I said to Joey, you know, I said, Joey, we really need to do this. And it's going to involve some travel. And we're going to be interviewing a lot of people. And we're going to be doing a lot of research. But, you know, over the last year, what we're finding is pretty eye-opening to, you know, a few tweaks here and there. And we can actually get a whole lot more participation from young men and women, underserved communities, people of color, into the building trades. And, you know, apprenticeship to me, I'm third generation. I believe my granddad started his apprenticeship in like 46. My pop started in like 66. And I was in 1987. You know, I've never known anything else. But it's never been a job. It's a career. You know, there's employers give people jobs. The building trades gives people careers. And you get basically a 4 or 5 year, depending on the program, education. It doesn't cost the apprentices anything. Many of our individual affiliates or apprenticeship programs are in conjunction with major universities. Yeah, these young men and women are coming out with 45, 46 college credits that they didn't pay anything for them. You know, they go back to get another 14, 16, they have their associate's degree. So we're giving people not just a job, but a career. And then they can ply their trade anywhere in the United States of America.
Well, let me say this, Rob. You've said, you know, so much. And first of all, backtracking just a second to the women in labor, okay, I can say this. Sometimes on broadcasts, I'll get emotional, right? And we had Aaron O'Brien Hoffman on, and she had a new apprentice on. She was 30, I think she was like 36 years old. And everything you said is 100% accurate. And in regards to, it wasn't always the easiest to get in all the trades. And so great to see the commitment we've made over the last decades. But the young lady had just started her first job the day before. Okay, they have a program you know, just a, you know, an educational program there to teach women, just to prepare them for the tests and all those things. Mm-hmm. Rob and Joe Krause will attest to this. I broke down right there on the spot. And it gets me a little emotional now because she talked about how, it, you know, it was going to change her life. Yep. And, you know, men like yourself, leaders who are making it, you know, see, you know, seeing, you know, the demand and the opportunities that are have not been realized by women over the years now being realized. One of the things that is amazing is, you know, and what I love about Erin Hoffman and obviously the conversation you and I are having is women didn't even know these opportunities even were becoming available. So promoting that is such a big deal. But we did a full month of it. We had individuals. Erin arranged and co-produced all the shows. So it was in March, and it was one of the great things. You said something else. That is, you know, we're going to get into the apprenticeship conversation, but I say it all day long. The difference between, you know, being in a union and not is the difference in having a career, okay, and a job, okay?
That's right.
And there's so many, and we're going to get into the benefits of you know, being in a union. Because you kind of you later, and then the ability to earn and learn. Okay, earn while you learn. No college debt. All those things. So much to talk about. Well, before we get to all that, tell our listeners who you represent. Okay, how many unions and approximately? I mean, not obviously exactly, but you're talking about not just the unions in Pittsburgh or in Philly, but this is in Pennsylvania.
Statewide.
Yep. How many members that you represent?
So I have 14 building trades councils across Pennsylvania. We represent all the international unions and all their affiliates in Pennsylvania. It's approximately 130 plus thousand union construction workers in the building trades. I'm lucky enough, I'm based right here in Harrisburg. Part of my job is a lot of politics and policy to make sure that we're passing legislation that benefits the working men and women of PA. And one of the things that's really, really interesting in this job is I get up every morning and I say, okay, am I going to be able to do something that's going to make a difference in our members' lives today? But when you do accomplish something and you look back, a lot of what we do isn't just a benefit for our members. It's a benefit for every single person in the construction industry, whether they realize it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I tell guys, look, our job is to be able to pass on to the next generation the opportunities that we've had and to make it better. And being in this position gives me a bully pulpit that I can do that. And I'm truly blessed to have this job. It re-energized me. I love getting up in the morning and coming to Harrisburg, you know. And I have some absolutely fantastic labor leaders from both sides of the state, you know, east to west, north to south, that when we need something, we need a big push, we need a policy push. I make a few phone calls, and the next thing you know, we've had 4,000 or 5,000 phone calls generated going to individual representatives or to the governor's office saying, look, this is what's important to us. This is important to the working men and women. We're not asking for a handout. What we want is a fair shot, and we want to build things. That's what we do.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You said something what's really impressive, and I can really relate to this because my dad, before he was, you know, became an official, you know, an officer with the iron workers and a business manager eventually, was a great iron worker. Okay. He took that path of, you know, started off as an apprentice, became a foreman, then got involved in union politics and all that. That path, knowing you know, knowing, having been where the men and the women are on a daily basis, is something that, how does that benefit you? Because now you're obviously at a whole new level, but you worked at the highest levels in the field, okay? And you know why you're fighting for what you're fighting for.
So one of the things that gives me a very unique perspective after spending all that time in the field and getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving an hour and 45 minutes to a job and working outside in a blazing heat, or, you know, bringing a new hospital out of the ground in January when it's 15 below and you're trying to work in ditches and you're trying to pour concrete. I know how hard our people work every day. So, and to this day, I still carry my tools in the back of my Tahoe. I still have my drag bag in my closet at home with all my clothes.
My work boots are 10 feet.
Right. And I never forget that I am an electrician in a suit representing our people. And when people have the audacity to say, you know, you guys have too good of benefits, you guys get paid too much, I remind them that 99.9% of our people could learn to do their job, but very few of them want to be the person that when the phone rings at 2 a.m, they answer that bell. And when the power goes out, or the air conditioner goes down, or the heating goes down, or the windows are falling out of buildings due to a hurricane, you know who answers that bell every day? Our members. And they work in the worst conditions. They do the best work out there. So when somebody says to me, well, we think you guys get paid too much, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. I know what our people do every day.
Absolutely.
And you've heard the president say the middle class built America and unions built the middle class. Well, he's absolutely right.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we bring to the table, and this is what I stress to politicians, our members aren't drains on social systems. So we have incredibly good health care. We have pensions, annuities. All right. We have health care for our people, lots of them when they retire. So when our guys work and then time out, you know what they're not doing? They're not draining down social services that are essential to people that need them. And the more people you get into our jobs, the less social services you need. I had this very discussion with the governor when the governor and I sat down to talk about economic development and workforce development. And I actually did a TV show with Luke Bernstein from the president of the PA Chamber. Right. And I think when everybody, when we started that show, everybody's like, oh, there's going to be big fireworks. Well, you know, it started out and I said to Luke, what's the PA Chamber one? Workforce development, economic development. What's the PA building trades and the governor one? Workforce development, economic development. Now, what do we both want? Really good jobs with careers, good pay, good health care, and a good retirement. I said, our goals aren't that far apart.
Right.
It's just we've never sat together and had the conversation saying, maybe we don't always agree on how to get there, but we agree on where we need to be.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? That leads me into leadership, okay? And we've always said it, of course, you know, being that number one union region in America, across Pennsylvania. Okay. And leadership is an important thing. What I would always tell, so when we started the labor show, we would go out, and we still do, Krause and I, we go out on location and we'll do broadcasts at the union office or whatever. And one of the things we talk about is, and there are classes that study labor leadership, okay, at Drexel in Philly, a guy by the name of Art Shostak, I remember I interviewed him 20 years ago, but they study labor leadership. And one of the things from watching my own father and from watching different agents and individuals at all levels, good and bad. The one thing that's so important when you're a labor leader is, and you know this is your credo, is that the men and women that you represent know it's about the union and it's about them, which means that sometimes it's not going to be an easy, they're not going to like what they hear. One of those things could be, and it often is, we're not taking a raise this, at the end of this contract. Things aren't good, and our contractors, are lifeline also. Okay, so there are contractors out there that are non-union, and there are contractors, thankfully, that are union. We appreciate them. We're not always on the same side, but sometimes you got to break the bad news to your members, and here's why. If they know it's about, for the good of the local and the members and the contractors, you will survive that, no problem. They may not like it, okay? But that's just the way it is. Interesting point in talking and relaying that, to the head of the individual that was on the show. Yep. That you're with. Talk about that.
So one of the things that I tell everybody, my baptism by fire, I took office July 7th of 2008 as a business manager. In January of 2009, the whole economy of the world fell apart.
Right.
So pensions were falling, annuities were falling, 38% unemployment, and everybody went, the sky's falling. We had to have some of those tough discussions. We had to come up with Pension Protection Act plans. We had to defer raises out of the check. We had to put money into the benefits. But as I explained to all our people, if you want to come out of this and you want to survive, there has to be some tough decisions made. Fast forward, here you are in 2024. The funds are doing great. 99% of my locals are working. Their pensions are good, their annuities are good, their health care is good. And in construction, you are 100% correct. It is cyclical. You have your boom and your bust. What we've been trying to do all these years is, as labor leaders, position ourselves that our market shares are such that you don't have these giant up and down spikes. You have that nice level line, and you're hoping that it's on a slow upward climb all the time. And if you're on that climb, that gives us not just more opportunities for our members, that gives us opportunities to expand our apprenticeships, that gives us opportunities to fill the funds, that gives us opportunities to make enhancements to our retirement. So over all these years, I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, but I also think that I have a good handle on what we need to do to keep the building trades moving forward.
So let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show, our President's Hour, with Rob Baer, President of the Pennsylvania Building Trades Council, in just a moment.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Tom Lee Hackey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters, and the United Steelworkers.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. This is a President's Hour special with Rob Mayer, President of Pennsylvania Building and Trades Council. Rob, by the way, I went blank there. I was thinking of the Chamber of Commerce president that you were talking to that. And I love what you said. And certainly this show is meant to educate people and really an insider's look at what labor is all about. And this is the first time we get the opportunity to do it on a statewide level. We talked about the importance of leadership and we always say we're the number one region in America, labor region, region in America because of our leadership. Let's talk about, you mentioned the governor. What's kind of going on in Harrisburg? Talk about the governor's commitment to labor and, the issues that we're facing right now that are so important to all of us.
So the governor has been a good friend to labor. And understand that the governor has to look at things at that 35,000 foot elevation. Much like I do, I'm concentrating on the building trade statewide. The governor has to concentrate on the whole state of Pennsylvania, okay? But he is very engaged with us on labor policy, worker protections. He's engaged us many times over energy. And even though there's been times that myself and the governor maybe haven't always agreed on energy policy, he's always listened to what we had to say. He's always been kind enough to bring us in, hear our side. And it's been a very good relationship. It really, really has. Governor Shapiro understands the value of what our men and women bring to the table every day. He learned a lot about our plans, our benefits, our structure. The one thing with our governor, he's very analytical. When you show him the financial benefits of what we do and what we bring to the table, he's like, you guys have a great model here. We should be doing it statewide. I said, well, we are doing a statewide, governor, and the whole idea is we want to expand those opportunities.
It's interesting because the governor, when he was running to become the governor during his campaign, I had the opportunity several times to interview him. And we were inducting Samuel Staten Sr. Into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. And he actually came to the event. He was coming to Local 332 anyway. But his words and his commitment, you could see that unions were a priority to him, that he was committed to labor. When we were talking about leadership, Rob, it is interesting. One of the things, and obviously, you mentioned a great parallel. Okay, the governor has an entire state to oversee, and there are tons of groups and organizations and different professions, and you have the sort of the same thing. You obviously statewide. And God knows, okay, that, even on a local wide, a citywide, there are jurisdictional disputes. We've been doing it for years, right? But one of the things that I think great leadership is able to do is to create a big picture. Yes. I joke around with all the guys on the labor show that anything attached to a steel building is ironwork, right? So, but funny thing, so sometimes there are disputes, but we're all in the same family. And great leadership, creates that picture. So when you talk to our building trades guys here, okay, they know one another. You all know that there's constituents across the board. Everybody has their constituents, okay? Everybody's got the members that vote for them. And talk about in a sense your challenge, but at the same time to be able to understand and the need to understand everybody's situation and to create a big picture. So ultimately speaking, we're not going to the wall and destroying one another when there's really a big picture.
So having 14 building trades councils, and nobody becomes a manager by being an introvert. They're all very extroverted, right? Sure. My wife kids me all the time. I could get on a plane with strangers, and by the time I get off, I'm sharing beef jerky and invited to somebody's wedding. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So I tell all our people when there is a jurisdictional dispute, look, we all have the green book. We want to work it out. You know, this isn't a hill that we need to die on. And one of the things I tell them was, you know, when I bring our statewide groups together and we start talking about policy, I use a perfect example. Every time I come to your area, my GPS takes me this back way and I come right down Boathouse Row.
Oh, yeah. Well, 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah. And almost every time I see the guys out there crewing on the Schuylkill. Now, one, I couldn't get in a little boat like that. But two, I'm always amazed at how fast those guys are going upriver. And the analogy I use is the reason those guys are going so fast is every single person sitting in that little crew boat is rowing in the same direction. If half of them were rowing left and half of them were rowing right, all you're doing is going in a circle. So as a building trades president, I look at things at the statewide level and say, I know that Philly's a huge economic engine for PA in that area, the four collar counties. I know Allegheny County is a big solid anchor for us in the western part of the state and our industrial base out there huge. I look at my guys up in North Central, Northeast. I look at Scranton, Lackawanna, Luzerne, Wilkes-Barre area and say, okay, what do those guys up there need? And sometimes what one area might need might not be what another area needs or wants, but if it's something that we can do statewide that lifts all of us up, then it's my job to get all my labor leaders from around the state in that room and say, okay, guys, we got to agree on a policy and we got to agree how we're moving forward and how we're going to lift this up and get this done. Because when labor is all rowing in the same direction, we are a force to be reckoned with, you know? And the reason we're a force isn't because, you know, you got a business over here that's got an owner. I have 130,000 owners is what I have. I have 130,000 members that want to go to work. They want to have job opportunities. And they all have a very vested interest in this. And all their labor leaders across the state know that at the end of the day, it's about putting their members to work.
Right. And you know what's interesting about that? So when you have individuals, and it's normal, we've all who are outside the labor community, a lot of times they'll talk about the union, right? Like we're all on the same one, right? And of course, there's some great public unions, and tons of them. We have a lot of them on the shows, and we really appreciate them. But one of the things about the building trades, because of the apprentice program, okay, and we're going to get into that. We spent 4 or 5 years in an apprentice program. There's a good chance, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, that if we asked 70% of our members to roll up their sleeves and have their local tattooed on their shoulder. So, and what that does also is, and when you get into politics and when you get into you talk about 120 some thousand members, so we put our money where our mouth is. We support those candidates who support us. I remember when Donald Trump won the general election 7 years ago. And we had a show, Krause and I had a show. We used to shoot the show on live, on Wednesday. So the election's on Tuesday. And we had some of our labor leaders who were scheduled for the show. And they said, look, we, a couple of them, they were like, listen, I'm a little devastated. I don't know, you know. So we called Pat Iding, Rick Bloomingdale, and we literally had the top cats in labor in the state of Pennsylvania on the show. And one of the things I'll never forget that Rick Bloomingdale said was, listen, you know, labor is not a political party, okay? Obviously, we have allegiances with Democrats because they typically support us, but we can't do everything on one side of the aisle. But he said, we support those who support us, okay?
Yep.
That leadership from the top, I mean, educated me, because I don't know what they were going to say. I knew one thing on that morning. We had some big conversations. And so what's interesting about that is those conversations and that leadership, there is, you know, it doesn't trickle down. But the fact is that it's, you know, the members are educated and we're willing to support candidates. OK, and put our money where, because what's that saying, Rob? I know Ryan Boer says it a lot of, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Yep.
OK, talk about that commitment. And because not everybody, you know, and even a lot of members, okay, it's great with our apprentice programs because that's where unionism is being taught and all, but it wasn't always like that. We were all going in one direction. Now you can rely on that 130,000 members and those labor leaders to really support the issues that are, you know, important and the candidates.
Oh, yeah. So we have, look, we support candidates on both sides of the aisle. All right. One of the politicians that's a Republican that I respect a lot, and I work with him a lot, is the Senate Majority Leader, Joe Pittman. Okay. Joe and I may always not agree on issues, but there again, you know, if he calls me and says, Rob, can you come to my officer meeting? Well, of course I'm going to be there. If I have an issue, I will call up Leader Pittman and say, hey, I know this is coming up in your caucus. Here's our position, you know. And the beauty of what we do is, and I'll give you a great example. We were working on a piece of policy here a month or two ago. And one of my leaders from out Western PA said, one of the reps called him and said, you know, well, we know this is important to you guys, but we don't hear from you. Okay. So I drafted a letter. I sent it to all my guys in Western PA. And I said, do me a favor. I want you to hand this out at your apprenticeship school. And at 9:30 when they take break and at 12 when they go to lunch, I would like 1,000 apprentices to call this guy and let him know you're going to hear from us. About a day and a half later, he went, enough, enough. I said, look, when we mobilize in force. If you really want to hear from us, if you don't want to hear from Rob Baer and you don't want to hear from Jimmy Snell or Mark Lynch or Kenny Broadbent or Tommy Mack or Tommy Malesko or Jimmy Riley, well, that's fine. You don't need to hear from us, but then you're going to hear from our thousands and thousands and thousands of members. Because what we're telling you is those guys elected us to represent them. And if you don't think that we're representing them, well, we'll make sure they call you personally, you know?
Absolutely.
And when our guys go through the apprenticeship, and even to the point that a lot of our trades, when we organize people in, we have mentoring programs, training programs for newly organized individuals to show them why your union, why you want to be here, why it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And they become engaged because we're not the union. We're never going to be the union. Our members are the union. You know, we're lucky enough to be elected to have these jobs. This is a privilege. But I never forget that I'm not the building trades. I'm the guy lucky enough to represent the building trades. The building trades is 130,000 members get up every day and put their Red Wings and their Carhartts on and go out there and build the state of Pennsylvania. That's the building trades.
And what's interesting about that, and that's so well said, is that one of the things Pat Iding was so great at was understanding everybody's challenges. You know, you talk about jurisdictional disputes, you talk about, okay, and the ability, especially when you're dealing with the AFL-CIO, you got the public and private unions, you really gotta, you're juggling and doing, but understanding the challenges, you know, per issue, okay? One of those issues is energy, okay? And you're a part of our board, we really appreciate it. But you have a lot of unions that are heavily focused. You know, the Boilermakers, team fitters, obviously sprinkler fitters, are, you know, the building trades, of course, but some make a living in those, like literally the majority of their men and women hours are there. Talk about that a little bit, because even the presidential elections, okay, you know, because of what's going on with the far left energy extremists, one of the things that we do on our board and Labor and Energy Alliance is common sense and energy, just trying to create common sense situations.
So one of the things that we've done, we've reached out to the AFL-CIO, of course, Angela's office is two blocks down from mine. And we've brought a lot of the other unions to the table and explained to them our positions. We did a big joint venture between the building trades, the AFL-CIO, Cornell University on a labor energy policy for Pennsylvania. Angela and I are actually having a meeting Friday about when we're going to launch it. We told everybody at the convention we've been working on this for a year. But one of the things that's interesting is over the last 2 years of this fight, everybody knows I'm going to represent my guys every day. But I've also been able to set some of our friends in the environmental community down and really explain to them how the PJM grid operates, how much energy we need, what the steps are to move to a cleaner energy economy, but their steps. And we have to be realistic in our expectations. It can't be scorched earth, you know? And it's also getting both sides of the aisle to understand, and a perfect example is we had a carbon capture bill that we needed to get out of the Senate. And there was some back and forth even inside the Republican caucus. And a bunch of them decided they didn't like it and they weren't going to vote for it. Well, without that framework and Senate to the House, there'd be no hydrogen. I walked over to that building and we got 11 Democrats to vote for that Republican bill. Because if we didn't, there would be no hydrogen. And I even had people from the environmental community with me that day explaining to the Democrats why we need to do this. If we don't, and there is no hydrogen, there's no chance of cleaning any of this up.
Absolutely. Okay?
There has to be a measured approach. And like our gas, look, we're going to utilize natural gas. We have no choice. Right now, for the next 10 years, that's our main source of electrical generation, that nuclear. Can we start cleaning up? Can we start carbon capture? Sure. They're doing it in Texas. They're doing it in California. We have to convince people, look, it's going to cost some money. It's going to take an investment from the state. The feds are going to have to invest in it. And if we do it, we can start doing carbon capture. We can start expanding SMRs. All right. Big potential there. But are they 8 to 10 years out? Yes. And the other part to energy that everybody has to get their arms wrapped around is nothing happens overnight.
Absolutely.
Okay. There has to be a measured approach. And here's what I'll leave you guys with this. So when we were working with Cornell, everybody attacked energy in PA because of its carbon emissions. So when we put our study together, I said, you know what? I want to do the whole state. I want to do energy. I want to do infrastructure. I want to do industrial. I want to do transportation. I want to do what's leaking from homes. I want to do school buildings, all of them, everything in Pennsylvania that will produce carbon in the atmosphere. 26 to 28% comes from energy. That's it. There's a whole lot of carbon coming from a whole lot of other sources that we've been ignoring. Now, I told everybody, I broke that down into six buckets. I said, if you did a 0.5% reduction in each one of those buckets, that's 3% a year. You do that for 10 years, that's a 30% reduction. And in 10 years, we're probably advanced far enough that we say, okay, now in each bucket, we're going to go between 0.8 and 0.9%. And each year, that's a 5% reduction. And we do that for the next 10 years. Now that's an additional 50%. That's 80% reduction in 20 years. And to meet our goal by 2050 in those last five, you have six buckets that you only need to get that final 20% reduction.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, It's a manageable expectation and a goal.
So let me answer one. We have about a minute left. We know that, you know, you've been a real proponent of, you know, when it came to Reggie, we need to have our own policy. Okay. Why would we jump on somebody else's policy?
Right.
We have very few resources. Obviously, the governor just came in with the PA cap and trade proposal. It's not even close to me. It's just, it's just the very beginning. And, you know, one of the things that it certainly is progress in regards to having our own policy. We only have a minute, Rob, so I do apologize. Your thoughts off the top of your head.
So the cap and trade that the governor put up, and I think part of that was him and I were having a conversation that he was frustrated. Nobody was moving. And I said to him, I said, well, only two of us in this conversation, only one of us is a governor that can put a plan up. And next thing you know, he comes back and he calls me and goes, I'll put two plans together. I'm like, well, you're an overachiever. But when he called me, he said, and his plans are done, he said, hey, look, I'm just letting you know I'm going to show these to you. And me being me, I'm like, well, how bad am I going to hate it? And he goes, well, you're probably going to hate 30%. The NRDC is probably going to hate 30 to 40%. Patrick Cicero, the consumer advocate, he's probably going to hate it about 20%. And he said, there's things in there you like. I said, well, that's probably a pretty good start then. If all three of us hate part of it and all three of us like part of it, do I think cap and trade is going to be something that's going to get through Pennsylvania? I have my doubts. I do. And it's no secret. I've never been a fan of it. I understand why he put it in there. Do I think maybe he can negotiate something with the Senate? Maybe. But it's going to be a big lift. All right. The energy companies have had a seat at the table. They've talked to the governor. I have sat in on that meeting with them. Everybody knows we need to do something. And I think what he put out there was, to his credit, he said, look, I know this isn't what it's going to look like when it's done, but I'm going to put something out there so that we can come to the table, Republicans and Democrats, labor and business, Pennsylvania as a whole, and can we negotiate something? You know, and the whole start of negotiations is putting something on the table. You know, he said to me, you know, what do you think? And I said, look, I think Pressers has a shot. We need some work. You know, there's some things in there I want to change. There's some things in there the NRDC, League of Conservation Voters, wants to change, but it's a start. Pacers, look, that's a big lift. That is a big, big lift. And I told him that, you know, and he understands it. But he did put something out there. And do I think that moving forward, we now have something to sit down and negotiate?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the start. You know, is it going to be a couple years? Yeah, Joe, it is. But, you know, that old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Negotiations start when somebody finally puts something on the table.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, listen, I really appreciate that. Appreciate you being on the show. Appreciate what you do for our union community throughout Pennsylvania. And, you know, your vision for the future and working with our unions and our political leaders. Can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Rob Baer, President, Pennsylvania Building Trades Council. Thanks so much for being on the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Awesome. Our pleasure. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Just a minute or two left, J-Doc, but a great interview with Rob Bear. I'm going to coin the phrase Rob Bear's six bucket theory. And I encourage the listening audience to go back and listen to, if anything else, just that last 5-6 minutes of conversation with you and Rob, specific to energy and here in Pennsylvania. But a great job by you as well.
Thank you, Joe. And I got to say, I mean, Rob is so committed, so passionate about labor. But what I, you know, there's so much to be impressed by. Okay. And great leaders. And he is one. You know, you look at the synergy between him and Pat Iding, understanding the needs. They represent hundreds of unions and the ability to bring them together, understand the issues, talking about understanding politics also. You heard him talk about the PA cap and trade proposal and understanding, and having a great approach to, where it's going to go, where it's not going to go, understanding labor in regards to, labor and energy, which is obviously what this show is all about. So could not thank Rob Bear enough for being our guest. Really, it's our first President's Hour statewide. And so I hope the listeners really got a great insider's view on what labor at the top is all about, because great leadership and the direction of labor was all on display in that conversation.
As we say goodbye here on the Labor and Energy Show, J-Doc, if you don't mind efforting, I'd love to see a copy of that survey that Rob talked about, that study, not survey, but that study. Sure. On all of the different components that led to the creation of the six bucket theory. That's going to do it for this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. On behalf of my co-host, J-Doc, and of course, on behalf of Rob Bear, we thank him for the full hour today. You can go to Apple or Spotify, just search the Labor and Energy Show, and you'll be able to download the podcast version of this broadcast and listen at your convenience. Great job, J-Doc. I'll see you next time, brother.
Thank you, Joe. You as well.
See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.